Our scripture reading this morning is from Luke chapter 3, verses 7 through 18. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. I thank my brother in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, Howard. Would you please join with me in prayer? Thank you, Lord, that they're not simply a collection of literature, ink on paper, something dead. They're alive. The love letter of you to us, you speak to us. Help us to receive the good news today. It's in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen. I can guarantee you something. I will never preach a sermon without at least one hiccup or mistake. However, I don't think that I've ever started a sermon by saying, "You children of snakes!" That's what John gets people's attention with today. And we kind of stop there. We say, "My gosh, John really was wild and woolly, wasn't he? I mean, he was out there. I guess if all that you had to eat was honey and locusts, you would get a little bit cranky too, actually, after a while. And if you were standing out there in the desert, and you know, things get hot out in the desert. Did you know that? They kind of get hot, warm out in the desert, and you step on the rocks and you kind of burn your foot and you say, "Doggone it, you know, you've been in the water," you step out onto the oh, ouch, "You brood of vipers, I'm in a bad mood, you came on the wrong day." John, however, has a method to his madness. And this is the urgency that he communicates. Friends, we have to be ready in our hearts. Not simply putting on the vestiges, not simply putting on the garments of change, but rather being changed from the inside out. He was saying this to people that needed to hear it, just like we need to hear it once again today. I should say we should be encouraged once again today. Whenever John first offered this message, it was radical and revolutionary. One is coming And so there was this sense in people's hearing, I wonder if this is the Messiah. The people of God had been waiting for the Messiah to come. And John is saying, one is coming after me. He was clearly pointing that way. He was saying, I'm not the one. There's one greater coming. One who is promised. People were startled. They were shook to their very foundation. They didn't know how to take this in, but they were mesmerized by his style, by his delivery, by the power of his voice and the message. And they wondered, then what should we do? How should we prepare? And they were asking that question, not even particularly sure of what they were asking or really what they were preparing for. Kind of reminds me of our present day, not being sure what to prepare for. I saw a special, or at least I saw what was advertised on the news the other day with the headline entitled, Beating the Holidays. Beating the Holidays. As though it's something to endure and get through. Whew. Man, we got through another Christmas. Thank God. For us, as Christians, we aren't actually, as far as the church calendar is concerned, in Christmas just yet. Yes, certainly, we have decorations up. And I'm not one of those pastors that says, we can't sing Christmas carols. We can. Because they're celebratory and they point towards God. And when they're done with the right spirit, with that joy in our hearts, and yes, we remember who it's all about. But we are in a season of Advent, God breaking in. St. Irenaeus said that there were actually two Advents. One, the first one, is the Advent of sacrifice. And we keep that in mind, don't we? That even as we received the baby in the manger, that gift of humility, we remember what that baby did for us eventually. That's the first Advent. And then the second Advent is an Advent of judgment. Coming again, that second coming of Christ to bring God's kingdom fully into fruition on earth. Christ coming, and John pointing towards Christ coming, says that there is hope. Says that God seeks for us to experience peace in our lives, and indeed says to us that God wants to shower us with his love. You see, there is a meaning behind each and every of the themes for the Advent candles, actually. They all tie in to what God is doing in our lives. Those themes are more than just simply banners that we hang there each Sunday. They're key components of our walk of faith. The preacher from the desert, John, responds to people saying, what are we preparing for? How can we prepare? By saying that generosity and unselfishness are the proper fruits of repentance. And he also says, and I'd like you to truly hear this, repentance has less to do with how fervently one prays or how faithfully one attends a worship service. Instead, it has everything to do with how one handles riches, service, and stewardship. In other words, how you offer back to the world of how God has blessed you. How you share back with how God has washed over you with grace. John is saying here also that I am with you on the journey. He's not just calling the people names. He's saying, I need to be aware of this as well. I need to be open to this as well. This message is for me as much as is it is it for you? So what should we do? What should we do as we seek to survive the holidays? Share. And these are exactly, directly from the words of Scripture today. Share. Keep no more than you need. Be fair. Treat others with care. And be honest. The words of baptism, the words of our baptism, the words of the baptism that the church offers, the church of God, God's house, the church defined by the baby and also the risen Savior, the church defined by the Holy Spirit, the words of baptism that John was conveying are, in the words that we hear again, hear this, you belong to God. Say that to somebody right now. You belong to God. You belong to God. You belong to God. When we share, when we keep no more than we need, when we be fair, when we treat others with care, when we're honest, then indeed we are celebrating the advent, the inbreaking, the indwelling of God's presence in a whole new way. Praise God for what He is doing in our lives. And praise God for how we can be more aware of that today and how we can take that with us as a truth, not only for our own selves, but for others. I want you to take a few moments right now just to think about that truth. You belong to God. You belong to God. What does that mean? How can you reflect on that? Take a few moments right now just to sense God's love and grace.